Here is a question I want you to sit with for a second. When was the last time you did 3 takeoffs and landings? Not roughly, not, oh, sometime last month, I mean the actual date, if you had to think about it. You're exactly the pilot I want to talk to today. This is Radio Hangar, I'm Pattern, and this is Traffic Pattern, the show where we take one piece of the regulations, lay it out on the workbench, and turn it from legal fog into something you can actually use on your next flight. Today we are pulling apart one of the most misunderstood little numbers in the whole Federal Aviation Rulebook, 14 CFR 61.57, Recency of Experience, the Currency Rule, and I promise you by the time we are done, you will never be fuzzy about whether you are legal to carry your family again. Before we get into it, let me give a quick shout out to our friends at AviationSoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot, instrument, commercial, they've got you covered. It's a great way to mark the milestones that matter, the ones you worked hard for. AviationSoul.com, okay? Let's walk through this together. Here is the thing about the currency rule that trips up so many pilots. They confuse two completely different regulations that sound like they do the same job. They do not. The first one is the flight review that lives in 61.56. Every 24 calendar months, you sit down with an instructor, you do at least 1 hour on the ground and 1 hour in the air, and they sign your logbook. That is what keeps your certificate usable at all, miss it, and you cannot act as pilot in command of anything, period. Not even solo, not even a lap around the pattern by yourself. The second one is what we are here for, 61.57, recency of experience. This is a narrower, sharper rule, and it has exactly one job. It governs whether you can carry passengers. That distinction matters more than almost anything else I'm going to say today, so let me say it plainly. Your flight review can be perfectly current, your medical can be valid, your aircraft can be airworthy, and you can still be completely illegal to put your spouse in the right seat. Because those are two separate locks on the same door, and 61.57 is the one most pilots forget to check. So let's read what it actually says. And I'm going to translate it out of legalese as we go. The core rule is this. To carry passengers, you must have made, within the preceding 90 days, 3 takeoffs and 3 landings. And you have to have been the sole manipulator of the flight controls. That last part means you were the one flying. Not riding along, not resting your hand on the yoke while your buddy does the work. You flew it. Now 90 days, notice something. This is not calendar months like the flight review. This is a rolling 90 days, counted backward from today, every single morning. That window slides forward one day, and whatever you did 91 days ago quietly falls off the back end. Here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. Go find the date of your third most recent landing, and add 90 days to it. Write that date on a sticky note. That is the day your passenger privileges expire if you do nothing. Pilots love to track currency looking backward. Track it looking forward instead, and you will never get surprised on the ramp with your kids buckled in. Let's put a real scenario on it. It's a Saturday morning in the fall, beautiful day. Light wind, unlimited visibility, the kind of morning you built your whole week around. Your daughter wants to go see the leaves change from 3,000 feet. You do your walk around, everything checks out, and you're about to climb in. Quick question. When did you last fly? You think about it. You flew a nice cross-country back in June with a friend, and honestly, you have not flown much since. You counted up on your fingers. That trip was 94 days ago. You are not current. Your daughter does not fly today. Not until you go do 3 takeoffs and landings first by yourself or with an instructor, but solo on the controls. And here's the part that stings. The airplane is fine. You are a good pilot. The weather is gorgeous. Nothing is unsafe about that flight in any real-world sense. But you are not legal, and the rule does not care how you feel about it. That is the trap of currency. It expires silently. There is no light on the panel. No warning horn, just a date on a page that most people never look at until it is too late. So what do? You go fly your 3 laps first, solo, or with a CFI who is not counting as a passenger for this purpose, 3 takeoffs, 3 landings, and the moment those wheels touch on the third one, you are current again. Then you come back and pick up your daughter, same day. It costs you 30 minutes and a little bit of gas. That is the whole penalty. Cheap insurance against a violation. Now let's turn up the difficulty, because there is a second layer to this rule, and it is the one that catches even experienced pilots. Night. 61.57 has a separate, stricter currency requirement just for carrying passengers at night, and it has two twists that day currency does not. First twist, those three takeoffs and three landings at night must be made to a full stop. In the daytime, your landings can be touch and go. You can grease it on, add power, and go around the pattern again, and each one counts. At night, no, each landing has to be to a full stop. You touch down, you slow to a stop or clear the runway, and that is one. Then you go again. Second twist. It has to actually be night, and the regulation is very specific about what night means here. For passenger currency, the clock runs from 1 hour after sunset to 1 hour before sunrise. Write that down, 1 hour after sunset to 1 hour before sunrise. Now, that is not the only definition of night in the regulations, and that is exactly why people get confused. The formal definition of night in the rulebook, the one used for logging night flight time, and for when your position lights have to be on, runs from the end of evening civil twilight to the beginning of morning civil twilight. That is a different window. It starts earlier in the evening and ends later in the morning. So you can absolutely be flying in what the regulations call night for logging purposes, and still be inside that 1 hour buffer around sunset where your landings do not count toward night passenger currency. It is a genuinely confusing overlap, and I have watched sharp pilots get it wrong. Let me make it concrete. Say sunset is at 7 o'clock, civil twilight ends maybe half an hour later, around 7:30, and that is when night begins for logging and for your lights. But your night currency clock does not start until 8 o'clock, 1 hour after sunset, so a full stop landing you make at 7:45 is legally logged as a night landing. But it does not count toward your 3 for carrying passengers at night, you have to wait until 8. Here is why any of this matters. And it is not just paperwork. Think about who wrote this rule and why. Night landings are genuinely harder. Your depth perception gets worse. The visual cues you lean on all day, the texture of the runway, the trees, the way the picture fills your windscreen on short final, half of that is gone in the dark. The black hole approach over unlit terrain has fooled thousands of pilots into flying a perfectly good airplane into the ground. So the rule builds an extra proof. Full stops in real darkness before you are trusted with someone else's life in the back. And notice the logic. Day currency and night currency are not interchangeable in one direction. If you're night current, having done your 3 full stop landings after that 1 hour mark, you're automatically day current too. Night is the higher standard, so it covers both, but it does not work the other way. Day currency does nothing for you at night. You can do 50 touch and goes at noon, and you still cannot carry your spouse home after dinner in the dark. Let's run that scenario, because it is the classic one. You take your spouse to a fly-in breakfast one town over. Gorgeous morning, you are day current. No problem. 3 landings last week. You eat, you look at airplanes, you talk to strangers about their tailwheel for an hour, and the day gets away from you. Now it is getting late, and by the time your wheel's up for home, the sun is going down. You do the math in your head somewhere over the halfway point. When did I last do 3 full stop landings at night? And you cannot remember, it might have been last winter. Now you have a real decision on your hands in the air with a passenger, which is the worst possible place to discover a currency problem. Because the honest answer might be that you should not be completing that flight to a landing with her on board at night, not legally. This is where I want to connect it to how the examiner thinks, because 61.57 shows up on your check ride. Not in the airplane usually, but on the oral. The examiner is looking for a pilot who does not just recite the 90 days, but who can cleanly separate the flight review from recency of experience, day currency from night currency. And who knows that night one runs from 1 hour after sunset? If you can explain the difference between the night definition for logging and the night definition for passenger currency, you are showing a level of understanding that tells the examiner you actually read the regulation, not just a test prep summary. That is the kind of answer that makes the rest of the oral go easier. Let me give you a few practical takeaways you can put to work this week. First, stop tracking currency backward. Every logbook app and every paper logbook lets you look at your last flight. That is looking in the mirror. Instead, after every flight where you did takeoffs and landings, note the date your currency now extends to. 90 days forward for day, 90 days forward for night. Keep those two dates somewhere you will see them. Two dates? That is the whole system. Second, if you fly rarely, build the fix into the flight itself. When you know you're getting close, do not wait for a special currency trip you will keep putting off. Fly to breakfast a little early and knock out a couple of pattern laps on the way, or plan the trip home to land before that 1 hour after sunset window closes on you so you never need night currency in the first place. The best pilots I know manage the calendar so the regulation is never a surprise. Third, remember that current and proficient are not the same word. The regulation is a floor, not a ceiling. Three landings 90 days ago makes you legal. It does not make you sharp. If you have not flown in 89 days and you are technically current on paper, that is exactly the flight where you should grab an instructor or go do a few laps solo before you load up the family, regardless of what the logbook says you are allowed to do. The rule tells you the minimum, your own honesty tells you the truth. And fourth, when in doubt, go fly the pattern. It is the cheapest, easiest fix in all of aviation. Three takeoffs, three landings, 30 minutes. There is almost no other regulatory problem you can solve that fast and that completely. If you are ever standing on the ramp doing currency math and you are not 100% sure of the answer is go fly three laps first. You will never regret being extra current. You can very much regret the alternative. The regulation language I walked through today comes straight out of 14 CFR 61.57 and 61.56, and the Airman Certification Standards is where you will see recency of experience show up as knowledge the examiner expects you to own. Go read the actual regulation text yourself. It is shorter than you think, and it will read completely differently now that you have the map. I have got a little more on night flying and how to stay proficient when the sun goes down over at radiohangar.com if you want to keep going, so do me one favor before you fly next. Find that date, add 90 days, write it down. Current is not a feeling, it is a date. Know yours. I'm Pattern. Keep it between the lines out there, and I'll see you back in the pattern.